Right versus Wrong, episode
2.
Right versus wrong.
Eliza Minsky, Kenji Kai.
The year is 1988. I am a high school sophomore at a mostly black high school in San Francisco's Western Addition, a high school where I hardly ever speak with my classmates. I am a good student because I don't verbally or physically assault the teachers. Any kind of self-esteem I have is based on kindness from my teachers and guidance counselor. Any kind of joy I experience comes from the advent of intelligent hip-hop music, where KRS-One and Chuck D, with apologies to Mrs. Hubbard, are my true history teachers. Life is difficult for this lonely and lost 15-year-old boy. When the Bomb Squad-produced beats aren't enough, I quickly go to my secret weapon, junk food. When the effects of a McNonsense meal and Pepsi wear off, I am once again left with my dark existence. The year is 1988, and I start to feel depressed for the first time in my life. I would soon graduate to my first suicidal ideations and first therapist, but more on that in a second. The year is 1988, and Bon Jovi releases Bad Medicine, their first post-Slippery When Wet effort. I was never a Bon Jovi person, that was for people like my sister, but in recent years their 1988 album title seems apropos when it comes to my views on Western medicine. Here's a snippet from the debut single off the album with the same title. Shake it up just like bad medicine. There ain't no doctor that can cure my disease. Bad medicine. The year is 1989, and I start to receive bad medicine. My dad is concerned that my depression is getting worse. He is concerned because I seem to have little to no interest in grown-up things like college, saving money, or friendships. In retrospect, I'm sure he got the memo from Prozac dealers that began advertising on TV and in news magazines. Whatever the source of his concern, he makes an appointment for me to see a therapist. I go to Miss K's office while my parents and sister sit in the waiting room. After a half hour, Miss K invites my parents and sister into her office. Awkward. I never return to Miss K, but my psychiatric rap sheet has begun. The year is 1990. I am fresh off of being named class valedictorian, for being a good student, of course. And McKesson, one of the world's largest medical suppliers, ironically, gives me a bunch of money for college. To prepare for my first semester at San Francisco State University, I attend a month-long summer college prep program on campus. The depression hits me hard. The need to isolate grows stronger. And dinners consisting of cookies, chips, and soda is the comforting routine. I complete 0 units during my first semester of college. Not verbally or physically assaulting my college professors got me nowhere, other than a demotion to City College of San Francisco. The depression is worse. The Prozac ads call to my dad even more, and I soon have a new therapist. Within 2 years, I experience my first panic attack after class and hop on the 43 Masonic to the Kaiser Permanente ER on the corner of O'Farrell and St. Joseph's. 8 days later, I am prescribed Klonopin, which would later become the 20th and final psychotropic medication that I will have gotten off of, and by far the most difficult one in terms of withdrawal symptoms. But more on that later. I am not going to get into the details of my entire 21-year psychiatric career now, but here is a quick rundown for those unbelieving of my psych cred. 21 years of talk therapy, 18 different psychotropic medications, including two of them twice, 6 prescribing psychiatrists, 12 psychologists, 2 discussions with a doctor about shock treatment, 3 involuntary stays in psychiatric wards, 7 visits to a psychiatric emergency clinic, including one handcuffed in the back of a police car, 6 mandatory stints at clinics that provided partial hospitalization and/or intensive outpatient programs, 3 acute diversion units, 2 halfway houses, 1 mental health cooperative, 2 near-fatal suicide attempts. Many of the treatments offered increased my depression and anxiety levels. Medications prescribed and taken to alleviate symptoms of depression and 2 different anxiety disorders in addition to Tourette syndrome and social phobia actually caused an elevation in symptoms, as well as other medical conditions, cognitive functioning issues, and the loss of some basic motor skills. For your information, when a medical person is the cause of illness, this type of illness is known as iatrogenic. The year is 2004. With the help of a medical layperson friend, I dive into an intense treatment of my gut, which includes several dietary restrictions. 3 years earlier, I gave up refined sugar, but in addition to that, to help remove the candida from my system, I must limit or completely eliminate my intake of mushrooms, vinegar, flour, and fruit. Easier said than done, but not impossible. This dietary practice must be supplemented with probiotics, which are bacteria that line the digestive tract and help absorb nutrients and fight infections. During the previous year, a mutual acquaintance of ours had mentioned a probiotic called Primal Defense that helped 2 of her friends infected with HIV regain their respective energy levels and appetites. So we decide to go with that one. Before I begin, my medical layperson friend tells me how to build up my Primal Defense intake and to take it 2 hours before or 2 hours after a meal. She tells me to be aware of how many bowel movements I have per day, as that's how candida is eliminated. Counting my daily BMs should be easy because as a lifelong connoisseur of junk food and a lot of cheese, I have never been regular. She warns me of rectal itching, which I have, although my dermatologist thinks it is yet another patch of psoriasis. She also tells me of the importance of trial and error while increasing the probiotic. If I feel any symptoms such as headaches, I increase my dosage by too much and need to decrease by half a pill until my body is ready to adjust to more. We then talk about die-off, which is a common aspect of healing from candida, where the person being treated feels worse before they feel better. Apparently, die-off is what stops most from pursuing their candida treatment further. I am already suicidally depressed. What do you mean I'll feel worse? I have already nearly completed 2 suicide attempts. Does this mean third time is the charm? 5 months have passed, and I am taking 6 or 7 Primal Defense pills per day. And my depression is much worse, and I end up in a psych ward from December 19th to December 23rd. 5 months later, after I was discharged from the SF General Psych Ward, and a mere 10 months after day 1 of this Candida protocol, I am completely free of my depression, and remain 100% free of depression over 12 years later, without any medications or talk therapy, and virtually no exercise routine. My mental health providers are elated because they feel as though they finally found the right medication for me. I think they are wrong about Lamictal and would prove myself correct approximately 3 years later. The advice of this friend healed my depression in 10 short months, and something that the contents of my psychiatric resume above could not. If you're curious, this medical layperson is my blogging and life partner, Eliza Mimsky. I ain't got a fever, got a permanent disease. My permanent disease is now on a permanent vacation after I step away from medical professionals. And it'll take more than a doctor to prescribe a remedy. For me, Moore is a medical layperson and her free prescription for treating candida. I got lots of money, but it isn't what I need. Lots of money is what it costs Western medicine and big pharma when people like me are no longer sick nor asleep to the truth. Gonna take more than a shot to get this poison out of me. The poison is now out of me, so now what? Well, the year is 2013, and I cannot read. My memory is shot. I develop a stutter. My eye color changes, and I can no longer write without my hand slipping off the page. I go to UCSF to be tested for Parkinson's disease. I fail, which means I don't have it. I give up caffeine. Nada. I give up animal products. Nope, that's not it. I quit artificial sweeteners. Sorry, bro, but keep trying. I know deep in my heart that the thing I was too afraid to give up was it. I research coming off Klonopin. What I find frightens me, but I am ready for the challenge of my life. The year is 2014. In January, I go on a medical leave of absence from graduate school. In March, I quit the best job I've ever had. The following month, I tell my family and friends goodbye, and that I'm about to be in a lot of pain. On May 6th, with the free help of several medical laypeople, I start day one of my liquid titration off Klonopin. The year is 2016. As I sit on my couch thinking about my third semester back to finish my master's degree and at where to intern, I am in a heap of physical pain. The pain and body-wide soreness that I experience 24/7 is caused by benzodiazepine withdrawal syndrome, which I am now 27 months into. The Klonopin has been completely out of me for nearly 17 months. On day 12 of my 275-day micro-elimination of this poison, my struggles with general anxiety disorder completely disappear. 1 month later, my memory is impeccable. I no longer stutter, and my penmanship is superb. Bad medicine? Yes, but not intentionally. On most days, I can believe that my past providers meant well, and that the real problem goes much deeper than their bad advice. Unfortunately, everything I know about benzodiazepine withdrawal syndrome, including both of the taper methods I used, comes from medical lay people. The year is 2016, and I now have a healthy fear of Western medicine. Imagine your history teacher being adamant about Christopher Columbus discovering America, or your science professor having a firm stance on the world being flat. This would horrify you, right? And now imagine those authority figures in their 20s sitting in the classroom before their careers began, while their professors unintentionally taught them these untruths. This is the medical profession. This is bad medicine. This is why I stay away.
I guess my first question to you is, who do you hope to reach? Who do you hope reads this, listens to this?
You know, there are a lot of depressed people out there, a lot of anxious people out there, and there are a lot of people out there who have diagnoses that I have no personal experience with, like hearing voices, seeing things that aren't really there. It is my hope to reach those people. You know, unfortunately, we've been taught that antidepressants heal depression and anti-anxiety medications heal anxiety. And, you know, as suspected, a lot of the recent long-term research has shown quite the contrary. So I am hoping to read those folks who are feeling hopeless despite their psychiatric careers. People a lot like me until we did the Candida protocol.
My next question is about benzo withdrawal. how do you keep yourself going through it?
Well, there really isn't much of a choice.
Right.
You know, I've said to several people that I had to make a decision. I had to continue living life or begin to no longer live life. As I mentioned in that blog entry, I did quit everything to kind of prepare for this. You know, the best job I ever had, putting grad school on hold again and giving up other commitments in life that I had. But once I saw that it was possible to live life despite this physical pain I'm constantly in, you know, it was easier to make that decision. And one thing I've learned is that isolation and not being around as many people, that actually makes this worse. So despite the pain I'm constantly in and all the other withdrawal symptoms that are undescribable, you know, it's better for me to be around classmates and co-workers.
Okay. So you talk about your depression lifting as a result of two things that I heard. One is diet,
mm-hmm.
and the other one is taking, was it Primal Defense?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So can you talk about that? Like, what specifically did you give up? Can you talk about that a little bit more?
Yeah, so diet-wise, in March of 2001, I gave up refined sugar. And, you know, over the years, and a lot of this came after that Candida treatment, I gave up flour, you know, wheat, rice, potatoes, artificial sweeteners, caffeine, animal products. But, like, during the actual, you know, Candida protocol, you know, I remained off refined sugar, and I didn't completely eliminate flour. It's a very hard ingredient to eliminate. It's incredibly addictive. But I did cut my intake of flour way back. And I did a pretty good job of abstaining from things like vinegar and mushrooms, and even my fruit intake decreased. Those were the primary changes. And there are ingredients that are similar to flour and refined sugar, you know, like any kind of wheat product, corn products, rice, potatoes in all forms. I did a very good job of cutting way back on all those.
And then how many Primal Defenses were you taking every day?
In the beginning of the 10-month treatment, you know, it was, I think I took a half a pill or one pill per day. But at the end of that 10 months, I believe I was taking 10, 11, 12 a day, which was kind of the goal you and I talked about up front, which I don't think I mentioned in that piece. But I did get way up there with it, just slowly increasing it.
And how did you know that that was enough?
Well, at that 10-month point, I noticed that I was no longer depressed. In fact, I remember, because I was kind of required to go to this outpatient group therapy place, you know, for like 12 hours a week to give me structure because I wasn't working. And it hit me in one of those group sessions. And this was maybe July of 2005. You know, it hit me. I haven't been depressed in about 2-3 months. And it's unbelievable. Unbelievable.
How would you describe your depression?
Other than the withdrawal symptoms from benzodiazepine withdrawal, I gotta say that the depression that I experience is the worst thing I've ever felt. That deep, dark, lonely, hopeless, you know, no future at all. I mean, that was the feeling. And, you know, death couldn't come sooner. And, you know, I did have those two near-fatal suicide attempts in a 13-month span, which were, you know, my ways of ending that pain. And I'm glad I survived them now. But, yeah, other than the benzo withdrawal, the most difficult thing I've ever gone through is that depression.
And then once you were on all those primal defenses, how did you just stop?
Yeah. You know, once I got up to the 10, 11, 12 or whatever, I didn't slowly decrease. I mean, I just went cold turkey off of them.
And nothing came back.
No, nothing came back. You know, it's not like a prescription medication where you want to like taper off to play it safe, to not overwhelm your brain. You know, these are all natural products, so it's okay to go cold turkey on them, as far as I know. That's what I did. I turned out fine.
What wrongs do you think about? What wrongs do you write about? What wrongs would you like us to write about? Join the discussion with Eliza and Kenji by clicking on the link in the description.